Mike Sielski, Glenn McNeil, let me get a call, and then I want to talk to Mike about something that he's got going on. Tom is with us. What are you thinking, Tom?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great, Tom.
So I've been thinking about this. So the birds are going to roll in this game.
Okay.
They're better everywhere on the field except quarterback and tight end. So from that standpoint, how does this not turn into the Tampa Bay game a couple years ago?
Well, look, I mean, Mahomes is going
to
be...
Which Tampa Bay game are you referring to?
Because
I remember the Tampa Bay game a couple of years ago where I felt exactly the same way.
the Super Bowl.
You're talking about the Bucks and Chiefs.
I know.
Well, look, I mean, you can make an argument that... Well, I mean, look, nobody has a quarterback as good as Patrick Mahomes, and where... Last season, the Eagles faced a gauntlet of really terrific quarterbacks during the regular season, including Mahomes. They have not faced the same caliber of player this season, so maybe they struggle to defend him, and everybody struggles to cover Travis Kelce. And the one game that the Eagles lost this season with Jalen Hurts at quarterback, they committed, three or four turnovers. So
yeah.
They're going to have to play a clean game, and... While we've gotten accustomed to seeing them do that and to not seeing Jalen Hurts make dumb plays and do silly things, it's one game and anything can happen.
Yeah, here's the thing. I think that the Eagles put up 30 plus no matter what, right? So the question is, can you keep, unless Mahomes goes off and goes crazy, I just don't see how they kind of beat him up a little bit. I just kind of think this turns into a, another route. I think they're that much better than that team. I think that there's no matchups.
All right.
I think the defensive line is going to roll. I think the offensive line is going to run for 150 and they're going to throw for 200.
Tom, from your lips to Jalen Hurts' arm, my friend.
Let's hope so.
All right, we'll see you.
Thanks, Tom.
So you've got a column that, by the way, you're headed to Arizona tomorrow.
I am, tomorrow afternoon.
You will be there all week leading up to Super Bowl, writing stories, eating Tex-Mex.
Doing all kinds of things, hanging out with Rihanna.
I'm sure that's happening. And you got a piece kind of looking at what's different between now and 2017.
Yeah.
What's the perspective you're taking on
that? All right, so... We're all thinking back today because it's been 5 years to 2017 and, the ride that that team took fans on. And one of the points I made in the column that I'm going to make now is that often we don't see what's decisive in a big game until after the fact. Okay. So go back to that 2017 game. The Eagles were underdogs. Everybody acknowledges that. Nobody really expected them to beat the Patriots. But they had two big advantages. One was that they had played a certain way all year. They were pedal to the metal. They would go for it on fourth down at a time when that was unconventional. And the advantage that gave them over the Patriots was that I think the Patriots went into the game saying to themselves, well, the Eagles will throttle back a little bit on the biggest stage. And there's that great clip from when Nick Foles is about to run the Philly special where Deion Lewis, a Patriots running back, is on the sideline saying, oh, they're not going to go for it. Why would they go for it? Well, if you had paid attention to the Eagles all season, you were not surprised that they were going for it on fourth and goal in that situation, even against Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. So that was one. In a certain sense, the Patriots weren't prepared for the Eagles. And the other thing that became a huge advantage that we didn't learn about until after the fact was that the Eagles had revamped the entire playbook for Nick Foles.
That's a huge thing because he had replaced Wentz and he was playing poorly those first couple of games.
Right, exactly. So then they go to a big run-pass option offense, and it's more comfortable for Foles, and all of a sudden, Belichick doesn't have any prep work because the previous 13 weeks with Wentz have been rendered totally irrelevant.
Yeah.
So I tried to look at this game from that kind of perspective, and to echo what Tom, the caller, just said, I'm not sure there's anything to be surprised about. Like, I think the Eagles are really going to win and win kind of easily, I think.
Wow.
So... I wrote this column.
Are you saying that as a statement or saying that as a question?
I'm saying that I wrote a column.
Your voice rose a little bit at the end of that.
I wrote a column, and the last line was, let's swing for the fences, Eagles 38, Chiefs 24.
Wow! Really? Two touchdown win in the Super Bowl, Eagles. Next Sunday, Mike Sielski officially predicts it right here.
The biggest fear that a sports columnist has is the big take gone wrong, and... you know,
that's your job,
swing and miss sometimes,
right. That's it. You're a home run hitter.
Yeah, you gotta go with
what
your
gut's
saying.
Reggie Jackson, you know, it happens.
Right. You know, I'm not Vince Coleman. I'm Reggie Jackson.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Wow, 38-24.
I think Tom is right. I don't see how the Chiefs stop the Eagles' offense if the Eagles don't stop their offense themselves.
You're right. The only fear is they beat themselves, and they've not beaten themselves this year. The Washington game aside, right?
Yeah, that's it. One time with Jalen Hurts.
Right. They have not beaten themselves. Hurts doesn't throw dumb interceptions. He rarely fumbles the ball. The team doesn't play dumb. Sirianni has him playing really sharp, smart, Steichen, the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I'm inclined to believe it. I'm not making my pick yet, but man, I listen to Ray's confidence. I listen to Baldy's confidence. I listen to your confidence.
Yeah, it's a weird position.
It is. We're not used to this.
No.
It's funny as I got, I had to go in the closet for something the other day, and I got the dog mask there that they gave us back then. And I was thinking, should I pull that out? I thought, not appropriate.
No, it doesn't apply.
The dog mask is not relevant.
It does not apply. I mean, look, it's funny because you probably do the same thing I do, which is you watch some and listen to some talk shows and podcasts around the country to get a sense of what people are saying and their perspectives and things like that. And you get some blowhards and you get some people who actually know what they're talking
about. Yeah, Nick Wright this week is a blow. You know what? I'm not going to give him air. Yes, go ahead.
But the point being, you know, the criticism and what we started the show off with, you know, this idea that anybody could coach this team or the Eagles aren't very good.
Right.
They've won two playoff games, 38-7. And 31-7.
69-14. I can do that math.
Yeah,
it's impressive.
And the complaints and the apprehension that you're hearing is, well, the quarterback didn't play particularly well in either game. And you can make an argument he didn't, but they still won 38-7 and 31-7.
They had four rushing touchdowns on San Francisco's defense, right? That doesn't happen because you're lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. And
Brock Purdy was not defending those ones.
No, and I think we are so conditioned to not get over our skis when it comes to stuff like this.
Yes.
You don't ever want to take the championship for granted.
We had a caller at the start of the show say, listen, I was inured by 1964.
Right.
And I think for a lot of people in this town who experienced it time after time, it's really hard. I started doing this job. When did I start doing this job? 1993. Right after the World Series,
right.
the Phillies lost, but whatever. And from 1993 to 2008, I didn't get to talk about the championship team. From 1983 to 2008, this town did not have a championship team. It was 100 seasons of four teams. That's easy math.
Yeah.
And then the Phillies won. And I think people felt really generally optimistic for 4 or 5 years. And then we kind of got back into and then the Eagles won for the first time since 1960. What you say is true. The Eagles are a better team. They ought to win. It's tough for people in this town to kind of say, like, yeah, we are better. We're going to win.
Yeah. No, it's not a natural pose
no.
for Philadelphia sports fans.
It's fun, though.
It just isn't.
This is so much fun. All right, Neil, Northeast, thanks for hanging in. Neil, I'm sorry I couldn't bring Ray on with you. But
I'm just glad that he's a contributor again to your show because he adds to it all. And Mike is very great. I mean, both your knowledge of sports and going back years, you know, I wish my memory was as good as yours, even though I've been following all the sports probably, a long time.
I appreciate that. What are you thinking about next week?
Well, I understand, like, the game about Tampa Bay, but I think that's the exception with Mahomes. So I'm expecting an Eagles victory, but I think Mahomes does, you know, have his moments because I think Mahomes still in the big games has usually passed over 300 yards as opposed to be bottled up. And I think the pass rush will get to him sometimes. Hopefully it'll get a turnover or two. But I think with the Eagles running game and the, you know, with Brown and Smith and Goddard and also the way Kenny Gainwell's look, Gainwell.
Right. Yeah. You're starting to mention every player on the roster. Narrow it down. Give us your prediction. What do you got?
He's out in an element of speed, and how he catches the ball out of the backfield. Like, it seems like really near the end of the season, he really picked it up.
You are correct, Neil. What do you think?
Well, I would say by 10 points, the Eagles win. And I think Elliott's a big factor, too, because Elliott's hitting the long kicks.
Yeah.
And also, Sirianni, like Peterson goes for it on fourth down.
He does.
And they make it about fourth and one. They make it about 80% of the time.
Well, that quarterback sneak is phenomenal.
It is. It is. It's the surest thing going in sports, it seems.
Yeah, and there's talk like, oh, they got to make that illegal, that the guys can push him. You can't do that. It's
no.
not allowed.
You know what struck
How
me?
How come nobody ever did that before?
Good question. And you know what struck me coming out of the 49ers game, Glenn? And I don't know that anybody's mentioned this. I was surprised that people were surprised and thought it risky that Nick Sirianni decided to have the Eagles go for it on fourth and one from the Eagles' 34, 35-yard line. Like, in that moment, I wasn't saying to myself...
Wait, are you talking about the beginning of the game?
When it was 7-7.
You're talking about the Devontae pass?
No, I'm talking about when it was 7-7, and it was fourth and one at their own 34.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And they
okay.
had Hurts sneak.
Because the Devontae was on a fourth down, which...
That was fourth and three, but at least that was in 49ers territory.
Yeah. Okay.
This was deep in the Eagles' territory.
I now know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and I'm surprised that people were surprised at that.
It's him.
Yeah, that's what they've done.
More coaches do that now than used to,
yes.
which is a good thing. That's mm-hmm. one of the good parts of analytics is coaches have realized like, oh, like punting makes no sense.
Right, exactly.
Especially when you have Brett Kern. 215-592-9494. We'll come back, grab a call or two, find out what we forgot to talk about.